Welcome to VSchool. We are going to start a very interesting chapter or a book on insurance and risk management. The title of the book is Introduction to Insurance and Risk Management. It is a very interesting book because it covers the various types of insurance as well as what risk management has its role along with insurance. First, we are going to navigate into the world of insurance. We are going to see how insurance evolved, what were the developments, and we'll bring up till today the updates till the proposed government actual actions on increasing the FDI limit to 100% in the insurance sector. Next, we are going to navigate into the world of risk management, which is also very important when we talk about insurance. We are going to understand the connection of risk management with insurance. And once we navigate into the world of insurance and the risk management, then we will take a view navigating into the business environment in India. Who all are the players? And it is a very dynamic industry, and who all are making this industry very dynamic? And what are the future trends in this insurance sector, specifically in India? Once we navigate into these three important aspects, the insurance, the risk management, the business environment, then we are going to see more details on each type of insurance, primarily life insurance, non-life insurance, and the recent popular going insurance vertical, which is health insurance, which is emerging itself into a standalone health insurance sector. Within the life insurance, we are going to understand the basic concepts of life insurance. What are life insurance contracts? What is documentation in life insurance? What are the underwriting and pricing policies and strategies in life insurance? And once this policy is issued, then comes policy servicing, claim settlement, and more and less these basic concepts of a documentation of underwriting, pricing, policy servicing, claim settlements are replicated in the other types of insurance, that is the non-life insurance as well as health insurance. But we will also understand more details about general or non-life insurance as well as health insurance in our final two chapters. So in all, this book is going to give you a very good knowledge, ideas, the latest developments on insurance and risk management. With this, a small intro about this book. Now let's directly go into chapter one, that is navigating the world of insurance. When we talk about world of insurance, we will go right from the historical development and evolution of insurance, right from the ancient times till the present era of the openness and allowing the private sector and the foreign companies to enter into the insurance business. We'll also understand the basic concepts of insurance and how it emerged over a period of time to suit to the modern needs. We also understand the key principles of insurance, because insurance is a very special concept. And in order for insurance to be successful, it has to be based on certain principles. Only when you understand the key principles will you be able to actually implement the insurance concepts. That brings us to the next important point, which is the functions and characteristics of insurance. When we talk about functions and characteristics, they are very important for individuals as well as for the businesses. Both have the facility of safeguarding their assets. It's not only safeguards the assets, but both individuals and businesses can focus on growth, can focus on productivity, can focus on transformation when they are assured of compensation of loss for the insured assets. So how these functions and characteristics of insurance are useful not only for the individuals, also for businesses and the economy as a whole. For that, we also need to understand what are the different types of insurance. And this chapter one is going to introduce you to the basic concepts of life insurance, non-life insurance, as well as health insurance. And to conclude this chapter, we'll also understand what are the different benefits and limitations of insurance as a whole. So friends, let's get a small introduction about what is insurance and what is risk management before we dive deeper into both these concepts. We will also understand in simple words how insurance works. We will also understand evolution of different types of insurance, the insurance scenario in India, and overall importance of insurance very briefly before we dive deeper into these concepts. So what is basic difference between or basic concept of insurance and risk management? When we talk about insurance, it is simply protecting people as well as businesses from losses occurring due to certain uncertain events. These uncertain events can be anything which can cause loss to an asset. When it is an individual, life becomes an asset. When it is a business, your business property, your business itself becomes an asset, and the various components that are connected with the business becomes an asset. So protection of these assets and timely compensation if at all a loss occurs, that is the basic objective of insurance. Then what is risk management? Yes, you have insurance, you have some protection, but it is always better to identify where all the risk can occur, where all the loss to your assets can happen, and for that risk management becomes very useful. Risk management is a process of identifying, assessing, and reducing potential risk. When we talk about identifying and assessing, it is not necessary that you have to take insurance for everything altogether. What impact it can have on you as an individual, what impact it can have on your business, that becomes very important, because insurance doesn't come free, it comes at a cost. And so the cost-benefit analysis has to be understood. Only then would be a proper insurance can be bought. So having said this, what is insurance and what is risk management? Now let us move towards the evolution. In fact, when we look for the evolution, the word insurance is rooted in the Latin word which is called securus, as well as an Italian word which is called as the polizza. What does securus means? It simply means providing security. What does polizza means? It simply means having a policy. So these concepts were existing since the ancient times, which covers both these aspects of providing security. And for that providing security, there existed a policy, a sort of arrangement, a sort of agreement on those terms in that era, so that the collective welfare of the people living could actually happen. So how does an insurance work? When we talk about policy, in modern terms, there has to be a contract. And when we talk about contract, there are two main parties. Number one is the insurer, who promises to make good the loss, and for that reason, the insured needs to pay a premium. So both are obligated. The insured has to pay the premium to get the loss covered from the insurer, and the insurer has to fulfill his promise by providing the cover to the insured. Provided the policy is live, the insured continues to pay the premium. And with this, the insurance concept gives rise to a very important term which is called as the collective well-being. So when we talk about collective well-being, we'll also understand the concepts of risk pooling. large number of people having similar risk come together, either on their own or through an insurer for which a premium is set, and the premium that is collected from all is used to compensate the loss, so that this becomes literally no profit, no loss. Whatever the loss that could happen, that is actually predetermined on the basis of certain statistics, on the certain mortality tables, like, and in the modern terms, we also take help of technology, and with that, the right premium, which is useful or enough for paying back the claims, as well as helps the insurance company to cover its administrative cost and to earn a small profit for productive purposes, is also actually made use of. And in short, this insurance works for two main aspects. One is safeguarding the assets, which can be life assets, which can be non-life assets, and in turn, it has resulted as a very useful tool of transformation of modern societies. So how this evolution of different types of insurance happened? This happened informally through the mutual aid systems to the formal sectors. When we talk about the mutual aid systems, this is mutual aid was in the form of coming together of like-minded or similar profession or occupation or any damn thing that can be done together, and they can pool the resources together and get the benefits out of it for themselves. And when we talk about the formal sectors, this comes in the form of the modern insurance companies, which are existing in the type of life insurance, non-life insurance, as well as health insurance. The basic objective that has been actually evolved over a period of time is to protect the economic value of the asset. And in the modern times, it also gives a new flavor. In addition to protecting the economic value, there are certain savings components which enable the insured to save some part of their premium into some good returns schemes, wherein they not only are protected from the asset point of view, but they may also get timely or returns on maturity for the policy which they have bought. Now, having insurance only cannot be that smooth or that useful for when it comes to collective welfare. For that, there has to be a regulator. And here comes the role of the Insurance Regulatory Development Authority of India, popularly known as the IRDAI. IRDAI regulates fair play, transparency, and overall growth of the sector in India. In addition to its main role as role playing for the growth and development of insurance sector in India, it also supports the government of India for promoting the policy reforms. Recently, the government of India's decision to raise the FDI limit in the insurance sector from 74% to 100%, as well as the social security scheme. So one side, IRDAI plays its regulatory role. On the other side, government also has very important supportive measures or methods by which the people of India, right from the needy to the well-established, can get benefit out of insurance. And these are reflected with the policy reforms, with the raising of FDI limit to 100%, with the social security schemes, accessibility and affordability of insurance for citizens. When we talk about accessibility and affordability of insurance for citizens, Government of India has introduced various schemes wherein not only the crop insurance, but the health schemes for the poor, for the senior citizens, and social security schemes wherein good measures are taken for providing employment or compensation when it comes to sudden loss of job or some disablement. So all this schemes are together coming into the social security schemes and affordability of schemes, insurance for the citizens. And in all, it helps to widen the insurance access and deepen the penetration. When we talk about insurance penetration and density, there is a tremendous scope for improvement of insurance in India. And here where comes the tremendous role played by the government for widening the insurance access and deepening the insurance penetration in India. We will also see what are the basic developments happening in India post-independence, by which so many measures have been taken, so many reforms have been made for improving the access and deepening the penetration in India. What is the importance of insurance? As we saw, insurance is beneficial both for individuals as well as businesses. It helps them to take risk. When they take risk, in spite of any loss that could happen because of uncertain events, they stand covered. And when they stand covered, they get financial protection. And this loss of fear, peace of mind, helps them to focus on the growth. Likewise, we have certain insurance which has mandatory requirements, especially legal requirements. In case of motor insurance, you should have a third party insurance when you have a car running on the road. There is holistic well-being, which is one of the biggest importance of insurance. When we say holistic well-being, people feel confident. They can plan their individual activity, their business activity. They can not only buy insurance, but they can also make use of the savings plan which are inbuilt into the insurance, by which they can not only feel secured, but they can also make their money grow with the help of insurance schemes. When I say insurance has evolved since the ancient times, when we say ancient times, this evolution can be traced through the ancient text as well as the ancient governance method. When we talk about ancient text, the Rig Veda makes a wonderful mention of the collective action for mutual aid. We have various references related with the insurance in the Rig Veda. In Vedic period or during the Vedic period, concepts of insurance also existed. Like, people used to pray to Agni Devta, Indra deities, for, and people were seeking blessings from these deities for protection of key assets. This is also similar to the concept of insurance. People had great faith. Even some in modern times have great faith like that, which helps them to get invocations for protection of their assets. Ancient texts, concepts of pooling resources specifically existed when we talk about the various ways in which the kings had a duty to support the distressed individuals. The state took special attention or made special provisions for protecting the people during the natural disasters or crop failures. When we talk about duty of the kings, this is specifically mentioned in the Manusmriti for supporting the distressed individual. When we talk about state-led protection, it is specified in the Arthashastra by Chanakya, especially protecting people against natural disasters and crop failures. The Manudharma Shastra also provides for depending for those dying or taking care of people in the old age. Sanskrit term yogakshema simply means protecting and preserving acquired resources. This is what we actually trace to establish the fact that the concept of insurance is rooted in the ancient text as well as the ancient governance. That's not all. In the times of Buddha, mutual welfare and burial system also existed. When no one cared after one person died, so here the burial system took care of such requirements. Mutual welfare took care of the basic needs of people, those who came together. Ancient cultures also played a very dynamic role in utilizing this insurance concept with the progressive mindsets, with the collective welfare as well as mutual support principles. So this clearly establishes the fact that insurance concepts is rooted or was rooted since the ancient times, both in the text as well as in the governance systems. Now, once we understood the ancient text as well as the government systems, now let us go through different eras starting from the pre-Greek period. Insurance also existed in the pre-Greek period. How this concept existed? It existed in the form of transferring the risk and distributing the losses. We have specific examples of Chinese farmers sending same crops in different boats so that if at all a ship had to face a disaster, only that ship with a small portion of the crops was actually lost. The other crops were intact. The ancient Babylonians, they had the bottomry and respondentia loans, wherein a small premium was paid by the sailors for which the entire journey along with the ship and the cargo was protected with different arrangements with the people who entered into this bottomry and respondentia. We will see this concept in the next slide. The Code of Hammurabi actually quantified the risk, because when we talk about risk, quantification is very important. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult for compensating the losses. But the Code of Hammurabi actually made ways for quantifying risk as well as compensation for the losses. We have examples of the Achaemenid monarch in the ancient Persia, which provided protection to various ethnic groups from any losses. So a monarch actually understood the importance and gave protection to various ethnic groups. The inhabitant floors that era, merchants collectively paid a premium into a common fund for mutual risk sharing, compensation for losses, so that the merchant don't have to seek any external insurer. They themselves came together, collected a fund in the form of small premium, and that premium could be used for compensating those merchants who had to suffer losses. So this establishes the fact insurance existed in the pre-Greek period. Now, let us understand what exactly this bottomry and respondentia arrangement are. When we talk about bottomry, a ship is hypothecated. When we talk about the respondentia, the cargo being transported is pledged. So the main security which is taken care in a bottomry is ship, whereas when we talk about respondentia, it is the cargo. But when we talk about in terms of the Modern Transfer of Property Act, the charge that is created or was similar to charge that is created is hypothecation in case of bottomry. But when we talk about respondentia, it is a pledge. What happens in case of the bottomry? If the ship completes its destination, then the sailor will have to pay the amount that is provided as the loan along with the agreed interest. But if the ship is lost during the voyage, then the borrower or the merchant is free from obligation. So he doesn't have to pay back the loan. In case of a respondentia, the loan will be repaid with interest if the cargo reaches its destination safely. But if the cargo is lost during the voyage, the borrower is not liable to pay the loan. So both this respondentia and bottomry, it actually encouraged the merchants or the sailors to take their cargo and transport it from one destination to another. And definitely if their voyage was successful, they were more than happy to pay it with the interest. But at the same time, they had a peace of mind that due to certain unforeseen circumstances, if the ship is lost or the cargo is lost, then they don't have to worry about the obligation to pay back because they were freed from the obligation. So both this arrangement tremendously helped the marine traders, especially for taking their voyage across the globe and prosper because of marine trade. Now let us come to the ancient Greece period. When we talk about ancient Greece period, we are talking about the 4th century BC, especially in the Athens and the Greece. In this period, the loans and the interest rates were set purely on the basis of risk associated with a year's season. So higher the risk, higher the interest. And the Greek era also brought a high degree of refinement, especially in two important concepts. The bottom-D contract, which we saw in the previous slide, were well established. It was actually introduced then, but now in the ancient Greece period, it was well established, and that's how the marine traders could actually grow and prosper. And they also introduced a new concept of averages, which we'll consider when we talk about the principles of insurance. Now, we also look into the Roman Empire. What happened in Roman Empire? The Romans also adopted the practice of bottom-D. And in fact, both the Greeks and Romans were instrumental in introducing the earlier health and life insurance types in 600 BC. So whatever health and life insurance we see today, a sort of similar arrangement used to exist or were introduced by the Greeks and Romans in 600 BC. Now let's enter into the dark and the Middle Ages. This is approximately the 5th to the 15th century. Here came the guild system. When we talk about a guild system, it's an association of craftsmen, merchants, or the tradespeople. They come together for providing mutual aid and they share the risk. A small premium or something, some part of their compensation is shared this association, and this association plays a very important role in providing financial support or material assistance. When we talk about financial support, it comes specifically during illness, during disability, or even during the death of a member. When we talk about material assistance, if anything, any asset is damaged, the artisans would be actually made good the loss, and they will help him to reinstate the damaged assets when it's lost or stolen, and that helps the artisan to continue his profession or vocation, whatever he's carrying. So this was a very important insurance system existed in the Dark and the Middle Ages. More specifically, in 1240, earlier forms of communal risk sharing happened. In 1347, marine insurance began developing in cities like the Venice, the Genoa, and the Pisa. And to add to this, new maritime insurance contracts were invented in the 15th century. When we talk about new, the newness comes into premiums based on the gravity of risk. Now let's move towards the 16th century and onwards, wherein the insurance business started to become commercial. It first emerged in UK in commercial terms in the end of 16th century. To be precise, the practice of underwriting emerged in the Edwards Lloyd's Coffee House in London. In this coffee house, the sailor used to take a break for coffee and would discuss about the different events happening in the marine or the ocean. The business actually got through because of this communication that happened between the sailors and the underwriters could understand the different type of risk that could happen or the losses that could happen or not happen. And here Edwards Lloyd's Coffee House became the epicenter for introduction of underwriting. In 1666, the Great Fire of London gave rise to a new concept of insurance, which is called fire insurance, because marine insurance was actually existing, but no one thought about the devastating loss that could happen. And this realization happened with so many deaths happening with the Great Fire of London, and that's when underwriters began offering fire insurance. In 1693, Blaise Pascal and Pierre de Fermat provided the foundation for invention of actuarial tables, because insurance, the prediction more specifically about the death or the loss or the premium that is based on specific science. And this science was introduced by Blaise Pascal and Pierre Fermat in the form of actuarial tables, which later on developed to the modern actuarial science. Edmund Halley invented the first life table, because when we talk about life as an asset, it becomes very difficult to understand what type of loss could happen. So Edmund Halley's first life table started this path of understanding what life risk is. In 1704, Lombard House offered fire insurance for households and business goods. And 1756, Joseph Dodgson proposed premium rates based on age. So up till now, together, everyone could get the same type of insurance. But 1756, Joseph Dodgson proposed his theory wherein premiums were based on age. So this age factor became a very important factor for deciding what premium, how much premium for a particular age of a person. So first, some of the first that were actually believed to happen, the first life insurance policies available in early 18th century, accident insurance in the late 19th century, the first pet insurance in 1890, the first car insurance in 1895. That's not all. The Social Security Act of 1935 introduced a comprehensive social welfare policy framework in the United States. Insurance products have evolved since ancient times, more specifically driven by the need to address the emerging risks. We have seen the ancient times when people used to carry goods in different shapes. Till now, this evolution has happened into different types of life insurance based on the need to address the risk, whether it is life risk or non-life risk. So with this, we come to a very important milestone to discuss, that is history of life insurance in India. So having seen the evolution of insurance since the ancient times, now let's look into the history of life insurance in India. When we talk about life insurance, the first life insurance company emerged in the form of Oriental Life Insurance Company in 1818 in India. And this was specifically established by the Britishers for catering to the needs of European community. So when I say catering to the needs of European community, it created a necessity of covering Indian lives, which was not during that time. And this need was fulfilled by yet another insurance company in the form of Bombay Mutual Life Assurance Society. So this was the first insurance company established in 1870 to cater to the Indian lives, that too at a normal rate. Because when we talk about normal rates, if at all, any lives were covered by the Oriental Life, that might come at a higher cost. But this Bombay Mutual Life Assurance Society specifically was established to cover Indian lives at the normal rates. Then a need of regulation emerged, and this need came in the fulfillment came in the form of Life Insurance Companies Act of 1912, which was the first attempt to regulate life insurance business in India, and later it was replaced to make it a comprehensive regulation on life insurance in the form of Insurance Act of 1938, which is still today being used to regulate, of course, with timely amendments by the government of India. Now, one important turnover happened in the insurance, life insurance sector, in the form of nationalization in 1956. When we talk about nationalization, it simply means government takes over the insurance business from the private sector. So when private sector in life insurance was flourishing, it had certain drawbacks. The main drawback was it was not affordable to the common people. If at all anybody could buy the insurance policy, the claim settlement were not transparent and people were not happy. So to meet the larger number of people, to provide better insurance benefits, to have fair business practices right from issuance till the claim settlement, the nationalization of life insurance sector happened in 1956. Its main purpose was to make the insurance benefits available to a large number of people. When we talk of large number of people, these are the common masses of our country. To make insurance benefits available with fair business practices. When we talk about fair business practices, there was nothing which were unfair, that people, if they have paid the premium, should be getting the claim that too timely. The insurer should not have any reasons for rejecting the claim at his own will. Life Insurance Corporation was established by absorbing 245 Indian and foreign insurers. So the major private insurers, life insurers existing as on 1956 were together brought under the government umbrella, and that's where we saw nationalization of life insurance in 1956. Having seen the history of life insurance in India, now let's look at the history of general insurance in India. Like Oriental Triton Insurance Company Limited was first established by Britishers in 1850 to offer general insurance in India. And it was followed by Indian Mercantile Insurance Company, which was established by an Indian in 1907. Of course, like life insurance, the Insurance Act of 1938 also regulates the general insurance business. And why was the nationalization of general insurance sector happened? It was specifically for providing uniformity, protecting the public interest, provide greater financial inclusion and insurance services to all segments of the society, especially rural and underserved area. A more special aspect of this is coming in the form of micro insurance, so that all sectors, right from urban to the rural, can get different range of products suiting their needs. They will have uniformity for applying, for submission of document, for getting their claim settlement, so that once again here, the individuals and the businesses would benefit because of nationalization of the general insurance sector. It also helped to regulate the insurance pricing, to expand the insurance coverage to various sectors like agriculture, rural development, as well as small industries. So these are the few important sectors, but general insurance provided important protection to wide sectors of the economy as a whole, and prevented excessive profiteering by private players who focused on high premiums, at the same time lesser penalty settlements of the claims. But this was exactly opposite. The government ensured that affordable premium was set, and if at all a claim happened, the claim settlement ratio was very high, and that marked a total new era of insurance, both in the life and the non-life sector, with the nationalization of insurance. When we talk about general insurance, like Life Insurance Corporation was established in 1956, GIC, that is General Insurance Corporation of India, was established post-nationalization in 1972. GIC was designated as a holding company, and to support it, four public sector general insurance companies were also established. These four general insurance companies were National Insurance Company Limited, Oriental Insurance Company Limited, New India Assurance Company Limited, and United India Insurance Company Limited. Later in 2000, that is 2000, GIC was notified as a national reinsurer of India, and these four public sector insurance, general insurance companies continued to carry their general insurance business.